This is Church Alive's teaching of the week. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
It's going to be a great day. Y'all give it up for Tyler as he comes to minister today. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. I can be seated. Pastor Gene had talked earlier about Band of Brothers. If you're on the fence about going or wanting to serve, I would urge you to come tonight at 5 p.m. To listen to Pastor Joe Warner. Band of Brothers, I've been to several years. It's been up in Indiana. It's been a great time. Definitely come back changed. So if that's something that you want to do and you're a fella, we'll see you today at 5 p.m. So first and foremost, I want to thank Pastor Gene and Pastor Regina for this opportunity to speak on Baptism Sunday. So the ones that got baptized, congratulations. I'm proud of y'all. It's a great decision. Absolutely. Absolutely. So today's message, I want to talk about how your alignment determines your assignment. So align your lives with God's purpose and your priorities, His priorities and our activities, and alignment positions you for a divine assignment. And so James chapter 4, verse 8, we'll jump straight into the scripture. It says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. So this is a promise, right? Who in here likes promises? Somebody says they're going to do something, they're like, bro, I promise I'm going to pay you back next Friday. And next Friday rolls around and you hadn't got paid. You don't really like that promise, right? But this is a promise from God, and so you can take it to the bank. So come close, but it also comes with a process. So we love the promises, but we really don't necessarily like the process that comes with it. So we love results. So Pastor Gene does triathlons and stuff. He's an Ironman, and so he lifts weights and stuff, and he's got really big biceps. And and I would love to have really big biceps too, right? But if I go to B-Fit gym and I only work out one day and I come back, am I an Iron Man? No. I'm just really sore for the next 48 hours, right? I can't move. And so the process is hard to get to be an Iron Man, right? But I want the biceps. I just want the short circuit, right? And so there was a billionaire, an oil tycoon. He lived in Oklahoma. And so he played football back in the day whenever he was in high school. And so he went back to his high school and he asked the high school coach, he said, hey, look, can I come talk to the guys on Thursday night for the pregame meal? So if you've played football, normally the night before a game, you have a pregame meal and you eat and somebody will come talk to you and you're like, rah, 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 right? And so this billionaire comes in and the team was 0-4 and they had not beat their crosstown rival in a long time. So it'd be like Mize hadn't beat Taylorsville in a long time. And so he comes in and they're eating and everything like that. They finish eating and he comes in and he says, hey, look, guys, I promise you, if you win tomorrow night, Friday night, I will buy each and every single one of y'all a Ford F-150. And so they was like, okay, you promise? He's like, I promise. And they were like, well, he's a billionaire. He knows what he's talking about. So the next morning, they wake up early. They come to school, and they get there early, and they start looking at film, and they start going over the plays for Friday night, and they start, like, diving in. And they're like, man, we're going to win. Friday night comes. What do you think happened? They lost 38-0. They loved the promise of getting the F-150 truck, but they didn't put in the time and the effort and the process. They only did it one day. You got to put the time in. It's a process. There's a promise, but there's a process that comes along with it as well. And so in scripture, it talks about a pattern. A pattern, you say, ask and you? Good. Seek and you? Good. Knock? And the doors will be open. Right. But there has to be some action first, right? There needs to be some action first. And so when I align myself with what God is doing and what God is doing here at the church, right? When I align myself with Him, good things are going to happen and the doors are going to open for me, right? So piggybacking off of the football story, I played football as well. And so whenever you play a regular season game, you just hop in the cheese wagon, the old yellow school bus, and you go play your team, right? You go play whatever, you know, you go to the game, and it's nothing really fancy or anything like that. But if you make the playoffs, you probably get a chartered bus, and you might get like a steak dinner for the pregame meal. Yeah, everybody's going all out, like, oh yeah. But also what you'll get too is whenever you get in the chartered bus, we used to have them in Louisiana, they were called Hotards, it was the company. And so you get the chartered bus, right, and you get treated like royalty. But the thing about the bus and going to the game was, is you'd get the steak dinner and everything like that, but you would also get a police escort, right? So you'd have a cop in front of you with his lights on, and everybody knew, get out of the way, somebody important is coming down the road, right? And so when you align yourself, you have the power in the vehicle that you have, right? The bus or the chartered bus, right? But when you align yourself with the authority, right? Cops are called the authority, right? But in this instance, when you align yourself with God, doors will open. Things will start moving out of the way and you just keep going, right? And so you see this evident in John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Amen. How many of us believe God has something big for us? Amen. Right? How many of us believe that? He's got something great for us. The challenge, though, is when it comes to us, we don't always believe that. We disqualify ourselves. We say, oh, well, you know, I didn't do this or I didn't do that, right? I messed up 5 years ago, and so I can't do that anymore. And so we automatically disqualify ourselves. And he said, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. Yes. Greater. And so the Bible says to fix your thoughts on the things that are good and lovely. Everybody say, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. So today I'm going to talk about three things. The first thing that we're going to do is fixing your thoughts is, number one is, you have to think good thoughts. Everybody say, think good thoughts. That's right. And so, just like I said, we write ourselves out of what God has for us, and we look at somebody else, and we get in this comparison trap, right? This family posts something on Instagram or Facebook, and they're all big cheesing, and they're all hugging each other and stuff. And in your family, y'all are at odds with each other, and you're looking like, I wish I could be just like them. But you didn't know 10 seconds before that picture, they were yelling and cussing at each other, probably, right? And it took 48 tries to try to get that picture. There was a young couple several years ago, Nicole, she's actually a really good cook. And so Nicole, we invited this couple over, and Nicole cooked, I think it was spaghetti or something. It was really good. She has a really good, mean spaghetti. And so they come over, and the husband's like, hey, babe, you want me to fix your meal? You want some broccoli? You want some of this or some of that? And she's like, yeah. Absolutely. So he starts fixing her plate, and I'm like, okay. I'm like observing. I'm like, okay. And he walks over and he fills her drink. I said, babe, what do you want to drink? You want sparkling water? They've got this. They've got Coke. And she was like, yeah, just give me a Coke. And so I'm like, man, I don't even do that for Nicole. I'm like, fix your own plate. She's shaking her head no right now. Huh? I'm comparing myself. I'm like, man, I'm not good. 2 weeks later, they were divorced. That's not talking about getting a divorce. I'm talking like divorce, meaning like they ain't even living in the house no more. So they were putting a front on, and I'm here comparing myself because he's acting like he's doing it. You don't know what's going on in somebody's home, so don't compare yourself to them. And we ride ourselves out of it. We think we're not good enough. I'm thinking I'm a bad husband because I'm not doing it. Guess what? We're 9 years strong. And here I am comparing myself. And so sometimes when we do that, when we're going through something, we say, well, you know what, I'm just gonna wait on the Lord. I'm just gonna wait on the Lord. Anybody ever said that before? I'm just gonna pray and wait on the Lord. Sometimes we just say, I'm waiting on God. And so Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. It's a little backstory about this. So Moses is with, he's surrounded by the children of Israel. They had just come out of captivity, okay? So they were held captive for years and years and years. And so he brings them out of this, and they're at the banks of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are coming after them. The Egyptians are following them. They want to kill them. And so they get to the banks of the Red Sea, and there's a Red Sea, and there's mountains everywhere, and they start complaining. They're like, we had it fine over here, but now you brought us over here. We're going to die. There's nowhere else for us to go. There's mountains. There's a sea. What are we supposed to do, right? And so in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, it says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is what he says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea and on dry ground. And so sometimes when we look at verse 14 and God says, he says, be still, we interpret that as stand still. No, that's not what he's saying. Because the next verse he says, move. Why are y'all crying out to me? Go, move, right? He's like, go to the Red Sea, go. In the last verse right there, he says, raise your staff. Raise your hand. Stretch out your hand. I've given you the staff that you've had for many years. You already have that. And your hand, stretch out your hand, right? Everybody in here was born with that, right? Moses, you already have that. So you have everything that you need already. If you want to align yourself with what God is doing, you already have everything that you need. I cannot make you exercise what you already have access to. I can't make that happen for you. You have to do that. You have to take action. Elisha was the same way. Elisha prayed. The Bible said Elisha was just like us. And he prayed for it not to rain. And guess what? It didn't rain. You have all the tools that you have access to. You have everything that Moses had when he parted the sea. And he said, go, move, keep going, right? And sometimes we just think God's like, just stay there. Move on, keep going. Yeah. God has called you to walk through what you're walking through right now. He may not deliver it from you immediately, right now, but out of it, because he wants to pull you through it, because the pulling through is what he's going to call you to be. And so my second point, my first thought, first point was think good thoughts. My second point, is think God thoughts. Think God thoughts. And you say like, man, I can't do that. And we write ourselves out. We already put ourselves down. But I'm here to tell you, with God, all things are possible, right? All things are possible. Let me tell you this. If you want the enemy to steal your dream, do nothing. Just do nothing. Don't take any action. Don't raise your hand. Don't do anything. And the enemy's going to do it. If you want God to do something in your life, you have to keep moving. You have to keep moving. The easiest way for me to explain this is through science. Do we have any science people in here? Any science buffs? Okay, good. Nobody. All right. Maybe I'll ask you this. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Einstein. Okay, good. So y'all not maybe like science buffs, but you know about Einstein. Einstein had this little thing he called the theory of relativity. Anybody ever heard of that? And so he says time and speed are relevant to the objects that are measuring them. How fast am I moving right now? Let me hear you. I come from the youth group, so like I need some feedback. How fast am I moving right now? Huh? No, I'm not moving, right? Your observation is that I'm not moving. But in all actuality, We're on Earth, and Earth is spinning 2 million miles per hour in the solar system. And so we actually are moving. But from your perspective, it doesn't look like I am, but I am. And so God operates in a different realm. His ways are not our ways, right? And so Einstein says, the faster you go, the slower you move through time. So basically what you see is not always what it is. Talk about the married couple. Talk about, I'm not moving, but I'm actually am, right? It's basically not what it always seems that it is. So if my life, pretend this podium is me, okay? This is 37-year-old Tyler, and this is the timeline. I was born way over here, okay? Now I'm all the way to right here now, and I'm moving in chronological order, meaning I'm aging, right? And every year I age, I keep going this way. And I hope my life is way past this wall, and it's into like Taylorsville over there. Tartars. And so my hope and my prayer is mine is way over there. But I'm stuck right here right now, but I'm moving incrementally. I told the first service that we've had kids come to camp their first year when they're 12 years old, and they got saved and they got delivered and they got baptized. And now that they're a senior, they're 18 years old, and they're still hanging on to living what they did when they were 12, 6 years ago. And so they're moving in age, but in spirituality, they're still in the same spot. And I say that about the youth, but I know some of you that are older as well can resonate with that too. Something happened in your life, and you're offended. You hadn't gotten past it. And you're like, on chronological order, you're 65, but your faith and the things that you went through, you're 20 and you're living the year over and over and over and over in your head. You can't get over it until you go through it. And you can't get past it until you deal with it. Right? Jude and Connor, they fight like brothers. Jude yesterday, Connor got to the house. He hadn't seen him in 10 days. He gave him a big hug. He said, "You're my best friend." 5 minutes later, they're arguing and fighting. He hit me. And I said, "Jude, give him a hug." And he was like, "Okay." It gave him a hug. And they were done. They dealt with it. And it's over. Oh, we're still talking about that? I don't even remember that. We're playing video games or we're playing this or that. You have to get over it. You have to deal with it. Don't hit him. Apologize. Hug. It out. Let's go. Okay. And they're like, "Eh." Right? Jude's like, "Yeah." When Moses said, "Who do I tell Pharaoh sent me? Who do I tell? What do I say?" God said, "I am." He's like, "Okay, what's your last name?" He's like, "I am that I am." He doesn't operate in the same realm that we operate in. He is the Alpha and the Omega. I'm in the timeline. I only move this way. God moves this way. He comes from the very beginning. At the end, he moves upwards. He moves backwards. He is all present. Right? And so if I'm right here and I just got a bad diagnosis or something, I'm like, "God, I really need you. I really need a financial breakthrough, Lord. I really need it." And he says, "You know what? If you keep praying and interceding right here, I'm going to plop it right down on your timeline. But you got to keep moving. Because if you stand still, you're not going to get to your destiny. So you keep walking and you get to it." So the third thing is think grateful thoughts. So we had the first one is think good thoughts. Think God thoughts. The last one is think grateful thoughts. Do you know somebody that's grateful? That like, they're always happy? The first service I talked about, Mr. David. Something bad could happen to the chicken houses that would literally take like 8 hours. Remember he was telling me the other day, he said, "Man, we were down there, we had to take this auger apart." And I'm like, And he was like, "Man, it was just like a simple rock. But it's all good, we fixed it. You know, it took 8 hours." And he was just so happy. He was like, He was just happy. He's a grateful person no matter what happens. That boy is happy. Happy. He's joyful. He's grateful. So there was a story that I heard one time. It was about this grandma. Do we have any praying grandmas? Anybody have a praying mama or a praying grandma? Right? Man, they pray all the time. So this grandma, she prayed and prayed and prayed. She prayed every single day. She would open up the windows, and she had a neighbor. He was an atheist. And so she prayed and prayed. And so this morning, she prayed, and she said, Lord, she said, I'm on a fixed income. It's the end of the month. I need some provision. I don't have nothing in my refrigerator. I don't have anything in my pantry. Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. And so her neighbor heard it, and he said, this is my time to shine. So he went to Piggly Wiggly, and he went and bought some groceries and stuff. And he said, I'm about to prove to her that God doesn't exist. So he gets the groceries. He drops them off at the front door. He knocks on the door, and she comes out, and she said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these groceries. Thank you for the provision. And he hopped out from behind the shrubs, and he said, gotcha. He said, I did that. Now you're God. And she said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for providing me with this food and making the devil do it. A grateful person, a grateful mindset. You need to fix your thoughts. Have grateful thoughts. Have grateful thoughts. Nobody understood this more than David. David went through a hard time. He went through some pain. He went through some heartache. Went through some shame. He said David was a man after God's own heart. And he still wrote Psalm 23. And so if we could put Psalm 23 up. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so, go back to 1 through 4. Yes. And so, if you look right here, he talks about, in verse 2, everybody say he makes me lie down in green pastures. Everybody say he. He leads me beside quiet waters. Say it again with me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil for you. He went from third person to first person. Right? Because whenever you're in a valley, you get closest to him. He comes close to you. You start talking to him. And so, I don't know about you. In verse 5, I don't know about you, and I don't know what you have going on in your life or anything like that. But I know in verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Fellas, can y'all come up? So I got some help. So these are my haters. I got onto them last service because they didn't say it loud enough. Okay, so on the count of three, these are my haters. So on the count of three, we're going to say, I hate you. Just for this purpose, not for anything else, okay? Disclaimer. All right, 1, 2, 3.
I hate you.
That was good. John didn't even say it. I love you, boy. John's like, I ain't doing it. Appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And so, when I'm aligned in God's purpose, he gives me an assignment. I'm thinking good thoughts. I'm thinking God thoughts. I'm thinking grateful thoughts. And he prepares a table before me. And so anytime you ask God to do something in your life, or you say, Lord, I want to go to a different level, he assigns you an assignment, right? Nobody understood this better than David. David was anointed and everything, but David really wasn't anybody until Goliath. That was his enemy. And so here's what happens is my enemies, they have bad plans. Not the Lord, my enemies, okay? My enemies don't want to see me succeed. They don't like me. They just said it besides John. And so we say, Lord, you know, I really need a financial breakthrough. I don't know why my kids are acting crazy, or I don't know why my marriage is in shambles, but I'm trusting that you're gonna, provide for me, Lord, right? And we think all these things that we're going through, these storms that you're going through, right? And he says, I prepare a table before you. And so, God, so I have my haters right here. And so, Oh, he said it now. He said it now because he's got to do this. All right, you come over here. You're going to massage your back. Yep, take the cap off. You come right here. Oh, you sit right here. You're going to massage my back. All right. So I see what's coming down the pike, right? I can see it. I'm like, Lord, no. And he said, trust me, trust me, trust me. And so I'm in this season of the storm right now with my enemies. And I'm here, and the Lord gives me rest. Give me some drink. Massage my shoulders. Pat me down. I'm hot. Oh, yeah. Pentecostal preaching in here. Let's go. Some more water. And so now my haters are now my elevators. Now they're the ones that are defining the things. So if you came from addiction or whatever you came through and you went to rehab, right? And you look back on that moment and you say, I am where I am now because I went through that. The Lord pulled me through and now I can use it as my testimony. Right? God has a plan for you if you just submit your life to Him and get in alignment with Him. Yes. On the other side of it, there's a promise. Thank you, guys. Some of you may be going through something right now. You're in the midst of some pain. Maybe you just got a diagnosis that you didn't want to hear. Or maybe you can see some financial troubles coming on the horizon. Or maybe your marriage is in shambles. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I'm here to tell you right now, and you might say, well, Tyler, you're up there preaching, and I'm just here, and I'm not good enough. I'm not this or that. And I spoke about that earlier, about discrediting yourself and riding yourselves out. Don't do that. Don't do that. When I was in high school, I almost took my life. Something bad had happened, and I got in my feels, and I said, you know what? I want to end it. And I thank God that I didn't act upon it. But the Lord pulled me through it. And not only did He pull me through it, I went to a school and got my associate's degree for free. Then I went to William Carey. Then I got to meet my wife, two beautiful kids. Then we had some miscarriages. It's not all sunshine and butterflies, I promise you. But once He pulls you through it, you will be better off on the other side with the promise. So don't tell me that He can't do it for you because He did it for me. He did it for me. We're going to have our prayer partners. Can y'all come down? I want to pray. And then Nolan's going to lead us another song. Everybody's bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I pray today. Thank you for allowing me to speak, Father. And I pray that something that I said today will spur something in somebody to move and take action, Father. Whether it be their marriage, their finances, a diagnosis, whatever it might be, Father, I just pray right now that you'll just meet them where they're at. And Father God, that they just exercise what they already have. It's prayer. You can do even greater things. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for allowing me to be here, Father. And Father, I pray right now that each and every single one of these individuals here today will keep moving in chronological order, but also will keep moving into their promise, Father.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive teaching of the week. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.